There is the desire for many people today to see the supernatural. In these last days, God has promised the greatest explosion of His power ever. Dr. Percy Collet is sharing with us the message that God has given him and what our responsibility is as the body of Christ in order to participate in this great move of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, friends, this is Dr. Percy Collet coming to you by the way of this tape ministry again. And I want you to listen what is going to happen about the great explosion. Jesus instructed me in heaven exactly how the great explosion was going to take place. I heard Billy Brim on the platform at Dr. Osteen's there in Lakewood Church telling about the great explosion. I met this precious lady there through a grapevine of the Holy Ghost, and here's how it happened. Billy called up Lois, the girl, the lady at Brother Osteen at Lakewood Church, wanting to get a hold of me, and said she was going to write a book about heaven and collecting together all of the different experiences that different ones had had about heaven. She's going to put this book together. So then Billy went to Fort Worth to speak in a church there. Brother and Sister Nichols, there in Fort Worth. And she told about this book there and told about me, what she'd heard about that time, which she hadn't even met her then. But she said, I'm going to get this book together, and said she heard about a gentleman or a man or whoever by the name of Percy Collet. And so Brother Nichols said, well, I've known him for about 30 years. We've been supporting that missionary work down there for that long. So we do have friends in this area, thank God, that supported missionary work. Wonderful man, Brother Nichols, started there. I remember him when he was a little church there, and then moved to a bigger one, a bigger one. He's got a great congregation today of Holy Ghost people. And the explosion is taking place in his church. And the explosion is taking place in many places. You take the old-fashioned way of the deacon board and the platform with the pulpit on there, and cluttered up with all kinds of people who are half saved and not, some of them not even born again, sucking on cigarettes and smoking big cigars, still sitting there in the deacon board, and paying the preacher instead of having the Holy Ghost preacher. Well, this is the old-fashioned way, and if it was me, I'd throw a bunch of that stuff off the platform and have me a platform where there's room to get on there and dance. And dance under the power of the Lord. Because this is the exact reality that's going to happen in the last days. Jesus told me that the dance was going to take place in the churches in such a fashion that they're going to dance under the power of the Lord. And it happened in the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. There, this church in the north end, I believe it is. Wonderful brother, used to operate under the old system of the boards and the amen corners and all of that. It was dead. He said it was dead. And they, you know, just enough for church on a Sunday morning, go home and get full of a lot of a great big meal and grunt to sleep all afternoon and go back at it again just to be there to fulfill their place in the seat. But the explosion took place in this church because I was there. Can you imagine a First Baptist church dancing all over the church house? They did. And I want to tell you it happened. Why? Because the explosion has taken place in that church. But you wait till a great explosion takes place, which Jesus told me was going to happen. And how can you participate in this great explosion? By just asking God to fill you full of the Spirit and be willing to dance. Because in heaven, there is dancing, dancing on the sea of glass. If you could see the dancing in heaven, my dance with my mother on the sea of glass and with the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine a man having the privilege to dance on the sea of glass with the mother of Jesus and with my mother? Oh, this blessed sacred woman who upon this earth was chosen to bring Jesus into this world. How did Jesus happen? How did Mary get conceived? How did it all happen? It was not a sinful act. This act of the Holy Ghost here was this pure virgin. A virgin that had never had a man. And then Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because at that time the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And there's what's going to happen. It's going to happen in a greater measure. How is it going to happen? Because when Zion travails, she shall bring forth. How does Zion travail? By being before the altar of God. And this is why that men and women are born into the kingdom through the great and wonderful power of travail. How do they travail? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the power of intercession. This is the power of being in contact and in touch with God. So walking through heaven and through the glorious parts of heaven, I came to the river of life with Jesus. Jesus instructed me exactly how the great explosion was going to take place. But he instructed me by his power. He said to me, Percy, and he didn't call me doctor in heaven, so you forget the doctor. He didn't call me by DD or degrees in law or degrees in theology or degrees in medicine. He didn't call me. He didn't even mention that. He just called me Percy. And how wonderful it was just to be called Percy by Jesus. See, you know why? Because Jesus is the great physician. He's the master of all operations on this earth. He could take charge any time he wants to. He could put 10,000 angels down here upon this earth and say, I'm going to take charge and win this battle. That battle's going to take place. But first, the great explosion is going to take place upon this earth. I want to tell you, friends out there, this earth's going to shake. And buildings are going to shake, and they're going to be shook by the foundations. Bible says very clear there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Means different places. Earthquakes, shaking, explosion. It'll explode from inside the earth and explode all over from the outside to the inside. The earth, if you studied, is a fire. It's full of fire down there inside. And that's why we have all kinds of volcanoes from the inside, because the earth's hot inside. It's a hot, fiery mess in there. Can you imagine that? And we're living on the top of a powder keg. When we live on this earth, that could explode any time. And if it explodes, we'd all be blown to smithereens. But who controls the earth? Because God fixed it. So God is a consuming fire. So then God controls that fire inside the earth. He just lets a little bit out once in a while to scare the people to death. And you know what happens? When one of these volcanoes explode and goes up, it makes papers all over the world, and people run for their lives because that lava's coming down and it's hot. But when God takes his hand off, the whole thing's going to be exploding. That'll be the end of this mess. But what's happening now? First, there's going to be an explosion from heaven. God's explosion by his Spirit. Because man's made the atomic bomb. And Russia's got it, and the United States got it. And they've took God's atom. God's had the atom long before we had that. Einstein come along and split it and caused an upset in the world. And that's why we have different weather conditions today and the whole thing's upset. Because God said it shall be. Man got wiser and wiser and got messing in God's business when they explode the atom. Now they don't know what to do with it. They got this powder keg on their hand. They don't know what to do with it. They're trying to control it. And they're doing all kinds of things, exploding, building more to shoot back at you. I tell you, if they ever do that, but they won't. Because they're scared to death. If Russia ever shot one of those things over across the United States, Russia sent them across here, there'd be no New York City, no Cleveland, nothing. Be nothing left but bare and scorched earth. Be the same way in Russia. Oh, what a terrible thing man's done. But God's explosion is on a different fashion. How is it on a different fashion? Jesus took me. God bless Jesus. Oh, the lowly Nazarene. God is a God of power. God's a God of reality. God is a God of love. God, but he's also a God of power. When he lets his power loose, I'll tell you, it'll make the atomic bomb look like peanuts. Because God is going to put his explosion down on this earth. Now, is it going to happen? That's exactly how it's going to happen. Jesus told me, instructed me, and told me how it was going to happen. And I'm going to tell you about it right now. When the river of life, which is getting bigger and is filling up, the river of life was looked to me just about a mile from its top. Now, I'm talking about big river. It was exactly a mile, Jesus told me, an earthly mile from the banks down to walk on the great river of life. Not just something, but that's what you call almost overflowing its banks. Because heaven's a great place. When you could think of heaven, 180,000 miles from the beautiful gate to the foot of the throne of God, and the throne of God taking up all of the rest of heaven. Heaven 2 million miles around it. And I took a trip around heaven all the way around it, 2 million miles in about 10 minutes. All the way around. And here is the great, glorious place of heaven. So beautiful. Walking with Jesus before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Walking with him and talking with him. He told me that I was his own. He told me as he walked with me like he used to when I went to the garden and to be with Jesus and get in the woods and walk in the woods among the trees, and I'd feel him at my side, Jesus, walking me. He was the lowly Nazarene, but now he's Lord of Lords, but he will be King of Kings when we crown him, because he is the Son of God. And I walk with the Son of God, with Jesus, walk with him before the throne of God. And as we stepped onto the great river of life, oh, it's filling up. It's filling up by God's Spirit. What is the river of life? It is coming from the throne of God. It is the Spirit of God. And in that Spirit, for God is love, but God is a great God of power. And through his Spirit, things will move upon this earth through the Spirit of God. Not through the power of this earth, but through the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God is different than the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost here. Holy Ghost is already been put forth on the earth. The Holy Ghost is in charge, if we let him, of us upon this earth. But the Spirit of God is different because the Bible says God is a Spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't forget the part where it says in truth. Because God is a Spirit. So then, he's filling up the river with his Spirit. It's getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And I said, Jesus, when are you going to come? He didn't say, I can't tell you the exact time, but I know I'm coming. But he looked down at that river, and he said, when this is full to its banks, and God opens the floodgates, not long after that, I'll come for my people. I'll come for my church. I'll come for my own. And Jesus is going to leave in body. He's going to leave in body. And his heavenly body's coming. When he comes, he'll come with the marks in his hands and the marks in his feet. And he'll come with a gash in his side. And he'll come with a crown of thorns imprinted on his forehead. He'll come with that. But he'll be then, he will. And then the church will meet him in heaven and crown him king and Lord of Lords, and then you'll be king of the church. You become king then. King Jesus. Hallelujah. King Jesus. Can you imagine? No more earthly kings, but King Jesus. We'll call him king, our king, the King of Kings, because he is the King of Kings. So God will open the floodgates. He'll open when the river's full. It's got to go somewhere. You see, it keeps filling up and filling up. And there's enough power in heaven, and my, if that ever flowed all over its banks and went all over the surface of heaven, oh, that'd be something. But that's so much power there coming out from the throne of God, he's going to open those floodgates. To open those floodgates, heaven's big gates is going to open up, and I want to tell you about the gates of heaven. It's something later in these tapes. But then when that floodgates is open, that great onrush, that great rush of the Spirit of God coming down through exactly the same way that I went up and come back to heaven. He said it won't be long. because I could see it filling up bit by bit. Can you see it filling up? Look down there, a mile down into the river, and it was coming up. I could see it with my heavenly eyes. I could see that river beginning to fill up with the Spirit of the Lord. That's right. When he opens the floodgates, it's going to come down on this earth and flood all through. Now, who's going to accept this? Those that are looking for the great explosion. What will be your part in the great explosion? Your part now is to prepare and get ready for the great explosion. And how do you get ready for the great explosion? Well, I want to tell you, these churches, little church, won't be big enough for the crowd. You'll have to have places to hold 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, and even 1 million will gather in the valley when the great explosion takes place. 1 million. Church will be coming by the millions. And that explosion will start flooding and coming down through that great, great passageway. Goes up, and if you notice in the solar system, there's an empty place. You study that, the scientists will tell you. If you leave this earth and go up towards Sweden, Norway, and there, up that way, there's an empty space where there is no stars. Going up there, science will tell you that. That's where I went up there. You didn't bump into a star. Just went and bumped into anything there. The heavens passageway is open. And those stars have moved back, ready for the great explosion. Science will tell you. They'll tell you that there's an area up in there where there's no stars, opened all the way to heaven. Jesus explained to me, this is why those stars are disintegrating and becoming fire and getting out of the way. That's what we call comets. And they're clearing that area ready for. This is a sign of the coming of the great explosion. When God the Father opens those floodgates, and he has charge of that, because that's his own spirit, then it'll come out through heaven's gates and start flooding down, all the way down, 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 a 6-hour journey down. And then it will pour out upon this earth. Oh, yes, it speaks about pouring out the wrath, pouring out and the angels, coming out of heaven, directing and controlling it, be directed by the archangels. They'll be the ones who are directing the flood coming down here, the floodgates, done by archangels and by the angels of heaven. And I want to tell you, the devil's angels are going to get out of the way of that when it comes. They'll move back, and the devil will move back at the presence of God. Then that great, great, wonderful power is coming down upon this earth, coming down through this great area and upon this earth. Then it will start pouring itself all the way around the earth, this great, great explosion, all the way upon this earth, pouring out down on America, on Saudi Arabia, on Australia, on New Zealand, China, and all the whole earth will be saturated by the Spirit and the power of God. What will happen to those who were unbelievers? They'll melt and they'll run for the rocks and the mountains. They'll run for the place to hide because they won't be able to accept the presence of God. But those who are gone, they'll hide from it. But those who truly come down into the power of God, coming down, and then there's those here who will get it, the prayer warriors, the preachers who are really believing in it. And then the evangelists will get it. And it'll come down upon them and fill into their mouths, because they'll open their mouths. And the Bible says, open up your mouth and you fill it. And it'll go right down into the bellies of these people, the bellies of those who are ready to accept it. As it fills their belly with it, out of their belly shall flow the river. God's power will come out of their bellies, and they'll start to speak forth with authority, be thou made whole. And the devil's diseases will move back, and this explosion will be so great it'll rock the earth. And when they absolutely begin to accept it, men of God, women of God, because there's no male or female in heaven. So women will accept it, men will accept it. And it'll be poured down upon this earth. This is the message that Jesus gave me about the great explosion. Oh, of course, there are those. There are even missionaries in Saudi Arabia. I met Christians there. I met Christians in different parts of the world. I met Christians in the different parts of the world, east and west. And they're waiting for it too. Oh, God, how long is it going to be before this happens? Some of them say, looking for the power of the Spirit of God. And you know what will happen when the great explosion takes place? I'll tell you, it will happen. They'll get out and preach in the streets. They'll get out and preach here, there, and everywhere. Does he preach in the streets? They say, what's happened to this man? Oh, what's happened to him? He seems like he's on fire, and he will be on fire. He'll have so much fire in his soul and in his spirit by the power of the living God. He'll say, be thou made whole, and it'll happen. Then the crowds will come to see what's happened. But then the earth will shake. You know when the earth will shake? The great shaking will take place. When that great shaking takes place, the bottoms of the foundations of those old dead churches will shake. When those churches and the spire will come tumbling down, the spire will come down because not one stone will be left standing that's anti-God. Not one stone will be left standing. And then all these things that man's done, the foolish things that man's done, will begin to disintegrate and go away out of the minds of the people. And they'll run to God and they say, what must I do to be saved? You know what they'll say? You must be born again. You've got to be born of the Spirit. And this is the Spirit of God coming down. And then the Holy Ghost will be taking charge of His people. This great explosion. And those that are walking in the earth walk of the Holy Ghost, women and men of God. They'll say, we knew it was going to happen because God told me through Jesus, said this, tell my people to have faith because it's going to happen. And you know what? You talk about shaking and dancing. And you know what Jesus said? That one of them great big stones will come rolling off the top of one of these buildings, and one of the children of God will get on top of it and dance while it's rolling. Now, I want to tell you that's balance. That's power. He said it would happen. And he said they'll begin to come rise up under the power of the Lord. And millions, not thousands, millions will come to believe there's a God. And there's a living God. Because it says in the Bible there'll come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. This is when it'll happen, that Jesus the Lord. And they'll say, my, is it so? There is a Lord. And you know what happened? The whole earth will get down their knees under the shaking and say, truly, there is a Jesus. Oh, truly, he walked the shores of Galilee and the Jericho Road, and he walked all over. He walked along the Jericho Road. And this is the man that opened the eyes of the blind, and now it's real. There's a Jesus. Let's get on our knees and worship him. And they'll confess that he's Lord. And the tongues will speak, and they'll say, but it'll be too late for many. Because they'll be too late, because they'll still reject him. But there'll be thousands that accept him. And they'll accept him under the great explosion because they declare. The newspapers will come out with headlines that there is a Jesus. Headlines will come out, this will be a great explosion. There is an Almighty God. What's happening to the earth, they'll say. And they'll say, why, what is happening? The great explosion is taking place. Then the tongues of the atheists. Can you imagine an atheist of the communists saying, of the communists of this world that do not believe there's a God, will say, well, there is a God, it must be, because what's happening to the earth? What's shaking the earth? There will be some try to explain it away, as from the inside, but this will come from above. Can you imagine the White House being shook? Can you imagine that, the foundation of the White House shaking? Can you imagine Buckingham Palace shaking? Can you imagine the mansions of the Middle East shaking? Can you imagine the Taj Mahal shaking? Can you imagine the great buildings, the Hall of the People shaking in China? Can you imagine all these great courthouses shaking, where there's supposed to be justice? Can you imagine the prisons shaking? But they'll shake, the prisons will shake. And you know what? They'll shake and the doors will come down. They'll come running and running out of the prisons. And they'll come running out and fall at their knees at Jesus' feet. And they'll fall and say, save us, Jesus, please, save us. And this is going to be the last great incoming of God's convicting power. Jesus said, you must be born again. Explosion. That'll be the greatest power of all history. And you know then, the pig and the boy are the ones there that was wonderful, healed by the help of medicine, will say, oh, they'll say, Oh, I've been serving the Lord. He was healed me and been serving the Lord and that woman. And some will come out of their graves. Now, that's a fact. And some will come out of the graves like they did. Not the great resurrection. You know what happened? When they crucified Jesus, some of the saints come out of their graves. They did in Jerusalem. Some will come out of their graves, and they'll come out, and they'll say, and they'll start walking with men. They'll say, you know, I saw so-and-so back. And then he'll be gone back again, because it'll shake those graves, so it'll shake them until they'll come stepping out of those graves and then go back again, because this'll be. But you know, there'll be some yet will say it's not so. There'll be some said it. There's some the scientists will try to explain it away, but it'll keep on shaking. There'll be no chance, the great explosion, for anyone upon this earth to get by with saying there is no Lord, and they'll get on their knees. Can you imagine the whole Congress getting on their knees? They should do it now. Just get on their knees and start praying. Can you imagine the Senate getting on their knees and calling and saying there's a God? Can you imagine the whole White House getting on having a prayer meeting with the power of God and all speaking in tongues, including the president, and under the power of the Holy Ghost? Can you imagine the Senate and the Congress right there in the great shaking, really and truly, start speaking in tongues? We were in a restaurant the other day. I'll tell you, we came out of the prison, we was talking. And you know what I mean? We got in that restaurant, we started praising the Lord. And in that restaurant, when we was having that breakfast that morning, we began to praise the Lord and speak in tongues. And you know what happened? There was other tongue-speaking people at that restaurant. They come together, and you know what had happened? It brought people from different parts of that restaurant, including the little girl. The little girl from El Salvador, who was filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. She come flying over to our table shop, you know, an El Salvador Holy Ghost girl. And I said, you're from... And then started speaking Spanish to her and found out she was with God. And she knew what it was, and you know it brought a reunion. Any time, I'll tell you, you get in some place and you start speaking tongues out there, you'll collect those together. But you know what's going to happen? The great explosion. The whole church is going to fly outside in the streets and start declaring, speaking in tongues and prophesy. Jesus said they'd be prophesying all over the place, prophesying here and prophesying there. You know, it'll be long after that till Jesus comes. He'll break the eastern skies. And he'll come down, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. God bless you, my brother.
In the first and second books of Kings in the Holy Bible, we read of mighty men of God, such as Elijah and Elisha. We read of heavenly chariots and fire. Dr. Percy Collet is a man who has walked in heaven and walked with these great prophets of old. Dr. Collet has obeyed the command of God to tell this message of heaven to the earth today. Listen now as Dr. Collet shares with us the events that happened when he met Elijah and when he experienced a ride in the heavenly chariot.
Yes, friends, this is Dr. Percy Collet coming to you again through the medium of tape ministry, and I want to take you into heaven. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of St. John, "In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." But also, there are chariots in heaven. Chariots to get in and ride 1,000,000 miles. 1,000,000 miles. Yeah, in heaven. Can you imagine getting in a chariot in heaven and going through heaven with Elijah and Elisha? Elijah went to heaven in a chariot. He was caught up to heaven in a chariot. No wonder the black people sang, "Swing low, sweet chariot, who did it carry me home?" Oh, that old spiritual. But it's real. You know, I always liked that spiritual. "Swing low, sweet chariot, take the black man home." But Elijah went to heaven in a chariot. So Elijah's chariot, he said, "Before you can ride with me, we'll have to have this chariot enlarged to carry three, because I want to get you in the middle of both of us." So what did he do? He asked the Father to make it big enough, and in a minute it was big enough to get in it. And this chariot was sitting down. Now, one time I took a ride on one of these old whirly wheels. at what you'd call a carnival. When I was a young boy and I got in that thing and that thing was swinging around and around, and I thought that was something as a little boy. Then I rode the rabbit when I was a little boy, and the rabbit, what they call the rabbit, you went flying down and up and down and around, all that business. But it's nothing, nothing what man has made unto the great glorious power of God. So it happened from the left-hand side of God where I met Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, it was Elijah who told me all about the mantle. Jesus told me about the mantle over the top of the wonderful mansions, because he said in his Father's house, in my Father's house are many mansions. They're also covered with the mantle of the Lord. And when I said to Elijah, I said, you let your mantle go on to Elisha, and he did twice as many miracles as you did, because of simple reason that he had a double portion of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, those miracles took place in the Old Bible under the power and direct power of the Spirit of God. But now God has put that power into the hands of the Holy Ghost. So it's the office work of the Holy Ghost to do that now, because God has got his full time taken up creating the new heaven. And I mean, it's a beautiful place. Can you think, as we said in the last tape, about being 180,000 miles from the inward gate, and when you go inside the inward gate to heaven, you're going through what I'd call the crust of heaven, or the shell of heaven, which is about 20 miles through it. Now, that gate is 20 miles deep, not just a plain old shallow gate you might see on Buckingham Palace, or that you might see on the White House, or on the entrance to the Supreme Court. Those are some doors, if you see them. And you take the architects of this day, they build doors that are outstanding. But first, going into that gate in heaven, going through it, and each side, as you went in through 20 miles of doorway, angels there standing with their flaming swords on each side. As you walk through, you come in, and the first door, as you go into the big long gate, there you can feel the presence of God coming out through that inward gate. Then you go 20 miles and into the inward gate, and going through that wonderful entrance, all lined with sapphires, and all lined with all kinds of precious stones. And there the chandeliers above the entrance, as you go through the 20 miles, hanging, all there with little seraphims and seraphims, and lights hanging up above, all studded with beautiful and beautiful, beautiful precious stones. And then coming to the inside, well, it was in heaven where I met Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elijah. Now, can you imagine standing there talking to Elijah and Elisha in heaven? I want to tell you, heaven's real. Now, the only way you get in touch with heaven is by prayer and being willing to just sacrifice your life in prayer and get down to business with God and get away from all the tennis playing, which I used to love to do, get away from all these earthly activities, and then come into the activity of heaven. You begin to come into the presence of God. It's a life of complete consecration in order to get a walk in heaven. A complete life of setting your life aside. Not being desirous of anything, the earthly things anymore. Means playing music unto the glory of God. Everything pertaining to the glory of God. And even the worship down here, all pertaining to the worship of God. No more earthly worship. No more earthly desires. None. But completely setting your life aside unto the glory of God. This is the way it happened to me. 7.5 years of doing this. So then in heaven, meeting Elijah and Elisha. Oh, what a fine looking man was Elijah. Elisha was just a little bit smaller. But the two of them were together talking things over. Used to be an old song, I'm going to talk it all over again when I get to heaven. Of course, I had read the book of Kings about Elijah and, you know, took it by faith. As a little boy, my father read that scripture to us. We sat around the big house, and he'd read all about Elijah and Elijah. You know what I used to think in those days? About the old horse and wagon going up there. It's altogether different than that. This chariot's beautiful. Elijah got in this chariot down here, and he started up to heaven going up there in a chariot. Isn't that a wonderful way to go? But you know the way he went? I said, which way did you come here, Elijah? How long did it take you to get here? He said, 6 hours. 6 earthly hours. 6 earthly hours. Well, which way did you come, Elijah? Same way as you come up. He left this earth and went all the way up through over Sweden. All the way up there, all the way up through. And he passed and he told me, he said, yeah, I passed that, son. I passed that in a chariot. And he said, I come on through the same way you come through, all there. But when I come, said, heaven here was just getting started good. Just getting started good. Now, that's a long time ago. Heaven was just being constructed. He said, there was none of these mansions built then. All this has been done since I've been here. All been done. And he said also, before Jesus went to this earth, Elijah told me, before Jesus, that God was in a great construction plan. That's why Jesus said, already, he said, in his Father's house was many mansions. They were already being constructed. But you know, he said, I said, could I ride with you in the mansion? With you in the chariot? He said, yes. He said, you can. I'll ask my Father. So the prophets of old speak directly to the Father. They do. And that's something I learned. So Elijah spoke to God the Father. Said, my Father, can I take Percy with me in a chariot, and a chariot ride to heaven? And then the answer come back, yes, you can. And then the chariot was made ready. Oh, that chariot was made ready. And he said, Father, it's not big enough for the three of us. Would you make it bigger, please? And in a minute, that mansion stretched out to the left and the right. A beautiful seat. Oh, such a beautiful seat. We all three sat down in that seat. Now he said, you don't have to strap yourself in this chariot like you do that one you rode down there. He said, you'll stay in it all right. And we sat down as we began to go. Oh, how wonderful it was. We begin to rise up. Now, just please try to understand how far we're going up. Heaven is 2 million miles around it, so it's got to be 1 million miles across it, and it's got to be 1 million miles high at least, if you take a calculator and you figure it out. And here we are, but you know what? As that mansion rose, it never turned itself away from God. It was always going up as we begin to rise up in Elijah's chariot going up. Elisha on one side and Elijah on the other. What a glorious ride. Listen, friends. Please get ready for heaven because you're going to have some rides and chariots up there too. If you want to, all you got to do is ask. Ask what you will and it'll be given unto you. And here I'm in heaven with Jesus, with Elijah and Elisha right up in heaven. Enjoying heavenly transportation. I heard in Japan where they'd fixed a train there that goes fastest train in the world. I thought, my, that's something. The other day I was in a jet along with C.D. Sewell going down to the prison. And we got up in there and they said, Lord, Lord, help us that this thing goes safe. I said, praise the Lord, I don't care if it flops down, I'm ready for heaven. Don't bother me a bit, but I said, God's not going to let that happen. Another time was in another airplane. And I asked, I said, are you all ready to go? And, yeah, everybody's ready. And the center man says, shut off the engines. And I tell you, nobody wants those engines shut off. That's right. It's a serious thing when you come to realize that you're going up, up, up toward heaven and a heavenly ride. Peter on the water, you know, he kind of didn't have the faith. But when he saw Jesus and kept his eyes on him, but here we're going on a million-mile ride in heaven. A million-mile ride in heaven. So he sat in this beautiful chariot. The bottom of the seat was just so silky and nice. My soul is in there. And it was Elijah's body and soul there. Not just his soul. My soul sitting beside of Elijah's body and soul. Because Elijah had his body there. Can you imagine that? Elijah having his body there. So I'm sitting by a heavenly being, a prophet of the Old Testament, sitting by him in the chariot. And then it began to go up. Oh, it was such a wonderful feeling to feel that heaven going, that heavenly vehicle going upward. As we begin to rise up and up and up, going up, up, up above the throne of God, but yet always hovering around looking towards God the Father. Here we started on this ride, coming down to the river of life, back up again, going over to where the singing, the music was taking place, back up out of that again, back over to the great window looking to eternity, and back over to the left-hand side of God where the dancing was going on. We was cleared up above the city four square, looking down on the city four square, looking down on the sea of glass, looking down on the river of life, but not looking down on God. Just looking directly, but yet you could see it all. Can you imagine being given a pair of eyes where you could see in the back of you? I could see in the back of me, right there. So Elijah, heavenly eyes, you can see all around you, not just in the front of you. So then we were there and we could see the wonderful millions and millions of angels that I couldn't see when I was down below. Just millions of angels. They're all over heaven. Millions, a beautiful sight. Riding in that chariot, and then he said, we're going to the outer perimeter. Oh my, outer perimeter. Going out into the outer perimeter of heaven. So then as we come to the outer perimeter of heaven, not in, inside, where all of those were just made a deathbed confession. We rode around heaven in the outer perimeter, not on the outside of heaven, but around the outer perimeter, over the top of where all of these deathbed, and I'll tell you, there was a lot of them. Elijah said, these are those that accepted Jesus on their deathbed. And Bob Ingersoll was there. He says, look down. He says, that's Bob Ingersoll. That face that said there was no God, no heaven. There he must have made a last bed a confession as he went and said there must be, and he did. He said there must be a God, and they told me that Bob Ingersoll prayed, so he just made it inside. In other words, he was not a God rejecter in the last. You know, they try to make out to Bob Ingersoll, he asked this question. When he was riding along in the train, this man said, well, he said, I could believe that. All right, Bob Ingersoll said, if you could explain to me the Trinity. So the man of God sitting, which they say brought Bob Ingersoll to the realization that there's a God. So he took some water and he rinsed out a cup and then he set it outside of the train window with a piece of string on it. And it snowed. And the cup got half full of snow. And he brought it back in, it become ice. He put it, become water. He put it back out and become ice. Now you figure that one out. He says, that's a good explanation of the Trinity. There you are. That's how Bob Ingersoll come to get and believe there was a God. But you see, it was Thomas, that was there at the very, very, very time when Jesus had come to the grave. And it was Thomas there. And Jesus said, Thomas. And Thomas thrust his hand into the side of Jesus. And Jesus said, put your hand in here. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And so Elijah said to me, he said, Jesus hadn't been manifested when I was down there. But he said, I believe so in heaven. I said, Elijah, I want to ask you something. Did you have a dream of heaven before? He said, many dreams of heaven. I said, was it easy for you to come to heaven by the ray of the chariot? He said, no way was it easy. I said, what did you do, Elijah? Just what did you do to come up to heaven in a chariot? What did you do? He said, I just didn't say, God, take me up there. He said, just exactly the same as you did. He said, first I saw dreams of heaven. Then I saw visions of heaven. And instead you come up by the power of the angels and the angel of the Lord. You come up by the power of the Holy Ghost and said, but I come up by the power of the living God, which was different. You come up. But he said, I had to spend days and days and years in believing about heavenly beings. And when I begin to talk to God, he said, I asked God to take me up there to where he was. So you see, very much on the fashion that I went. Very much on the fashion. You just don't switch out of an earthly walk and going into a juke joint and then come out from a juke joint or into a pub or something like that and come out and say, well, I'm going to heaven the next 10 minutes. It's not that way. It is a way of sacrifice, a way of believing. It is a way of complete faith. He said, I had complete faith, and when my faith got complete, he said, I come on up here, and I've been here ever since. Oh, hallelujah. So we're flying around heaven in a heavenly chariot. We come up, and then we settle down. This was the most wonderful part. He said, shall we go down and see Jesus? Shall we go down and see him? So we come down and set the chariot right there. Right in the side of Jesus. Jesus said to Elijah, get out. And Elijah got out. Jesus got in the chariot and sat by me. Chariot, and we went out, and I went up with Jesus. And took a ride up with Jesus in Elijah's chariot. And I tell you, friends, when you get to heaven, I want to tell you, you're going to have thousands of years of gigantic entertainment. Then Elijah got back in. Jesus got out. It's Percy, are you enjoying the ride? I said, I'd never want to get out of this chariot, Jesus. It's so wonderful. Oh, yes, you will, because there's other things that's even more glorious than the chariot. So then we flew around to the back side of the altar. Around to the back side. You know what was happening on the back side of the altar? All the construction material was stacked in the back of the altar, created by God. And there were some of the diamonds were being brought, but here's where they were being created, just like a great, gigantic construction operation. So gigantic. Now you see, this earth was created by God, and all from the void condition, in just 6 days. And I'll tell you one thing, we got Australia, New Zealand, all these countries down here, and the ships of the sea. But can you imagine a heaven that's being constructed for 4,000 years? And Jesus and Elijah told me, said, when I come up here, he said, this construction was already in full swing. But he said, all of this is being done by 6 days of God's heaven. Now, 6 days... in 1,000 years, that's 6,000 years. Oh, how perfect is God's wonderful. 3,000 years. 6,000 years. 6,000 years. So then, 4,902 years, the other side of the cross, and the rest, this side of the cross. You're getting very hot now as to when Jesus is coming. When heaven is completed, and when the wedding supper takes care, Jesus is coming from heaven, coming down to take out his church into heaven. And I said, is this the only chair to heaven? Is this the only? Oh, no, he said. There are a million chariots, more than a million chariots in heaven. So then in the backside of heaven, here is where all these several thousands, up to a million chariots sitting there for the saints of God to ride in. That should be enough transportation, because we won't all be up there at one time. So get ready when you go to heaven to ride in a heavenly chariot. I said, what are they going to be? Oh, yes. I said, some of these are going to be sent down to earth to take some of the real devoted of men God home, because not everybody's going to see death. And he explained to me, he says, when the great wedding supper of the Lamb takes place, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that we may be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And God's going to send chariots down here to take some of us that's alive and with our body. You want to take a heavenly chariot ride like Elijah did? Get really born again, saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and get ready for the wedding supper of the Lamb, because there's going to be a lot of chariots at that great feast and that great wedding. Oh, it's going to be a great move toward heaven. So then as we went further in the construction behind the altar of God, here was where the diamonds was being created. And here's how the diamonds were being, people running around with a little old diamond on their finger. And look at it. I remember there was a man in one church I was in, and the widow woman died and left him the diamond. He stuck that on his finger on the Saturday, and he went in church, and he was preaching that message. And I, every once in a while, I saw him, he kept looking at that diamond. And somebody hollers out, said to him, "Preacher, get your eyes off that diamond, get it off on Jesus." And he took that old diamond on, threw it off, and threw it right flying through the congregation. Because I want to tell you, I know something about diamonds because I've been among the diamond knockers. And it was hard to get them. But here was the diamond creating machine. Back of the altar of God. And you know what was happening? There was this great, like a great big pipe. And diamonds was falling out of there. Oh, they were big. 10 carats, 8 carats, 7 carats, and all sizes, falling out of there. There they were, stacking them in these chariots and taking them and dumping them over in a great big pile, ready to be studded into the mansions. And then diamonds are beautiful. And then all these beauty and reality of heaven. Then we sat down among the music. As we sat down among the music. And then they begin to sing the song. They sing the song of Elijah. And I tell you, that's going to come back to me as the song of Elijah was being sang. Elijah, I remembered Elijah the prophet. He believed enough that he come home to this heaven. And Elijah is a man. So I said, "Elijah, when you walk this earth and you walked it," and I said, "there were the Syrians and much leprosy there, wasn't there?" He said, "yes, there was." And I said, "you have power over leprosy, didn't you?" And he said, "yes, I did." But he said they had to go and do things that I told them to do, like a man of God did. Go and dip in the River Jordan, these kind of things, this action. In other words, it's action of obedience. But he said, "you, when you go back to the earth, shall have power over leprosy." Oh, I want to tell you, that leprosy power of the spirit of the devil is so terrible. Because if you could ever see a little girl, we got a little girl one time, picked her up with leprosy, brought her down the river and take her to the colony. And you know today, there's not a mark on that girl's body. But Elijah told me one thing, and here's what he told me. Here's what he said. "You have a work to do upon this earth. It's been noise. It's been told all over heaven. You have a work on this earth to bring the church together. To bring the church together as one body." And I want to tell you, my dear friends, out as you're listening to me, let's get together in love. And he quoted to me. Elijah quoted to me, "if you have not charity," but he used the word love in the heavenly language. "If you have not love down on this, when you go back to this earth, it profiteth nothing." He said, "I loved Elisha so much, I loved him." And he said he followed me, and you know what he asked for? A double portion of the spirit that I had in my body. And he said, "but you're going to get a great portion of the spirit of God down there." And he said, "by having a double portion of the spirit," he said, "he was able to do twice as many miracles as I was, because my miracles come through and directly through the Spirit of the Lord. But your miracles this day has become the office work of the Holy Ghost." Because this is going to be, he said, of the great move of God upon this earth. And Elijah. Oh, then after he got out of the chariot, I sat down with Elijah. We walked over there to the love seat together. Oh, Kudabashanda. Hidabashanda. Kudabashanda. He said the Holy Ghost wasn't given. But now we both spoke in God's language together. Could understand what he said. Elijah sat down with me on the love seat. And he put his arms around me, around my soul body. And he said, "I love you. I love you." And I said, "I love you, Elijah." And he said, you're a man of God. You go back to this earth. And he said, be faithful. He said, when you come back next time, I've been told you'll come up in a chariot. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And he says, your body's never going to see death. Oh, I want to tell you, can you, one of these days, if Perse is missing, he'll be gone in the chariot. And that's what he'll be done, because Elijah said, I understand you're coming back up here in a chariot. I want to tell you, this is real, friends. You better be ready. You better be ready, I want to tell you, because it's winding up. Times are winding up, as the black woman said. God bless you, my brother. Amen.